Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Philip.
All right, let's get started.
All right, we just had to finally replace him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, who are you talking about?
See, that's not it.
That is it. That was it.
It's that one.
Yeah, that's right.
You got them all.
You
got
to turn the...
How do you turn?
Hey,
oh, yeah. Come on.
What do we get to replace him?
Yes. There so that was your intro music right there, Philip.
Welcome, Philip.
Welcome, Philip. So who are we replacing? Justin. That's right. That's his name. I forgot.
I forgot how to say it, too.
Well, look, Justin is an important guy, okay? Mm-hmm. He is big time, okay?
Ish.
He ain't got time for the little people.
That's right. Okay. That's true. He's moved on from us.
Yeah. So, but we have Philip here. We'll get Philip here in just a minute. Couple unfortunate things about Philip we'll learn pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. And we may lose a listener or two, which would be 50% of our audience. So
this is true.
I don't know if we might want to rethink this. Yeah. But we are in March Madness.
We are.
Overmodulating.
Microphone
sounds loud. We need Justin here because he's a technical person.
Overmodulating? No.
You're not very technical.
You're just a very loud person.
So we are in March Madness. And it's been pretty mad, if you ask me. What do you think, Philip?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty great so far.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. His team got the cakewalk to the Final Four.
My team earned the number one seed cakewalk.
Earned the cakewalk.
That's right.
But you did admit it's a cakewalk. Thank you.
You did.
Yeah, Lee.
It is hard to be the number one team in the best conference.
It's best conference, yes.
It's unfortunate that they'll be known for the team that made it to the Final Four.
That's it.
I mean, you know, we're going to be talking about a Duke Florida final.
You know,
I mean,
it's coming.
So
being
tell
real,
me,
probably.
So tell us, Philip, why are you an Auburn fan?
So, growing up, my dad wasn't in the picture, but my best friend's dad was kind of like my male role model. He graduated from Auburn, and so he used to take us to games all the time. So it was just kind of natural.
There's nothing natural about being an Auburn fan.
Well, I just want to say, though, that, Jeff, you and I are laughing and joking and jovial on the same team here, but I'm not an Alabama fan either. Not, so let's just make that not. Clear.
And no one's an LSU fan, right?
We can all agree
Thank
on
you,
that.
Other
Phillip.
Than, like, the 110,000 that go to the stadium Ugh. Every year. I mean,
it's terrible.
Whatever.
It's because they can't make it out of the state.
Okay.
Ask Tommy why he's an LSU fan.
Well, I'm married into it.
I'm married into it.
Do I talk like? Do I sound like?
Yeah.
That? I'm married into it.
See, just like it.
That's usually something the women say.
Right.
Well, when you marry Cajun,
burn.
Yeah,
I like that.
But on basketball, you know, I'm. What are you looking for?
Nothing.
In basketball. I am an LSU fan of basketball. But did you record me sleeping? but you know, like the Shaquille O'Neal days. I mean, let's not forget who, you know, LSU has really produced some major stars. I mean, like
in
Auburn, Shaquille O'Neal.
One.
I mean, he's pretty One. Major.
You accidentally put the S in star.
Shaquille. No, there's others. There's others.
Philip, you're welcome back anytime.
Pistol Pete, didn't he go to LSU?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
I mean, he's pretty well known.
That was pre-3-point line. Can't really count that.
Okay. Well, I mean, who came from Auburn?
Charles Barkley.
He's exactly. a great commentator.
Exactly. So
I think Bo Jackson played basketball, too.
He might as well. Played everything
well,
out.
Bo Jackson's the greatest athlete ever lived.
Well, I think we need to clear something up on the front end about Philip.
Let's clear it up.
So his name is Philip Nathan.
Yeah, he's got two first names.
Mm-hmm. Not Nathan Philip.
Right, Philip Nathan.
Because I've made the mistake already. Like, look, the Phillips are coming over. I'll say that. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
That's like saying the Jeffs are coming over.
I know.
That's so stupid.
It is. It is, but it's a cool story behind it.
Behind what?
Behind his name.
Oh, okay.
Because I was talking.
Well,
to
what's
him.
Really weird is his middle name is Stephen. Philip Stephen Nathan. I mean, I was just trying to think of another first name.
It's Thomas. So
is it really?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my name. So my name is, so since we're on names real quick, my name is Thomas Olton Duke the Fourth.
So you got an extra last name for me. We'll just make up for each other. Yeah.
So listen, this is what he did. He went online.
Well, he can listen to the podcast and listen to that.
He went online and bought Sir to add to his name. So he's Sir Thomas Olton Duke.
Well, the initials, it's better than Tud. It's Stud.
Is that a true story?
Yes. It is. Yes. But the problem is, it was a long time ago, but the problem is, it was for a joke, but the problem is when they leave out the middle initial, then you're STD.
That's true. That's
so when someone says, hey, what's up, STD? They don't, other people around don't think, oh, that he means Super Tommy Duke. No, that's not what they think. Mm-mm. Something else. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it backfired a little bit. So you have to keep
the Olton.
The U-L-T-O-N, the Olton in there.
And where's Olton from?
Is that that's a family. I mean, obviously I'm the fourth.
I know.
So the Indian, the Native Americans in us was my grandmother's side. So when my grandmother's the one that broke the, she's the one that married outside of the race, a white man who was Thomas Olton Duke, senior, or junior.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my grandmother's full-blooded Chippewa Indian.
That's awesome.
Yep. So anyway, back to the Final Four.
Yeah, back to the Final Four. So,
I'm obviously rooting for Duke.
Thank you.
Since my alma mater, Memphis, got out the first round.
Were they in? Sorry.
Kinda.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a really great season.
Great.
Good season.
Mediocre. I've seen better for Memphis when Calipari was coach and buying everybody.
Don't start that again.
It's true.
Look, Anthony's doing pretty good this year.
No, he's not.
This year he did pretty good.
Anyway, Final Four. So here's a fun fact, Tommy. You don't know about this yet. But staff here, we've all picked a different team.
In your bracket?
Yeah. To win it all.
So yours is Duke.
Mine's Duke.
Yours is definitely Auburn.
For sure.
Steve was Memphis. No.
Houston.
Oh.
He's rooting for Houston.
Well, Houston has a great team.
Yeah.
Great team. Well, they've always been good in basketball.
The four number ones have made it.
Yeah.
There's only real one, number one.
And Jay did Alabama?
No, Jay's got Florida.
Jay's got Florida winning it.
Huh. Okay, so all four of y'all got a number one.
We got our own, so we're going to watch it together.
I've got Duke winning mine.
Yeah.
Is it just the four of you in it, or is Jason in it and all them?
Okay. No.
Because it's the Final Four.
Well, I meant in your bracket.
I'm just kidding. No, we were just chatting about it. And so when we decided that we all had our own, we're like, well, we should watch the game together.
So on that note, then, we letting the listeners know that Philip is on staff. He's a coworker of yours.
He is. Yeah.
So we'll let him introduce himself.
He passed all the screen tests. Welcome.
Wow. They must have lowered the standards.
Yeah. It was rigorous.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah. So Philip is our new student pastor.
No, I'm super... super excited to have him on podcast. Number one, because we couldn't find anybody else. And number two,
that's why I'm on staff too.
What was it? Youthminister.org?
No,
find a youth minister.
Hire a youth pastor.com.
Yeah, it's kind of like next to Farmer Wants a Wife or something.
We
like,
went there first.
Farmers Only.
We went there first.
Hire a youth minister or pastor.com.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Well, no, I'm really, dude, I'm telling you, I kind of wish I didn't know the story.
Right.
I mean, I just learned, you know, your story, obviously, Philip, coming out of our men's group session, but wow, I want to hear it again. Just so thankful that you're on here. Thankful that you're part of our church and part of our friendship now, and, you know, becoming friends with you has been really fun and excited about that. So, I want to know the name. I don't know the story behind Philip Nathan.
All right. So when you get to the part in the story,
yeah,
where this comes from, share it then.
Okay.
Because I just think it'll add more.
Yeah, probably so. It give away part of the story early.
Correct.
If we went with it now.
Correct.
So I'm not going to give anything away or anything, but I just kind of want to preface this with, like, I was blown away and... in a good way? Isn't that weird to say when you hear a story that
Well, it's bragging on God and what he does.
Exactly. 100%. I mean, but this is a real, this is the experiences and the things that have happened have equipped you to deal with the students in a way that a lot of people wouldn't be able to deal with.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah, when God wants to, he uses our stories and our unique situations, experiences for his glory if we let him. And so it's just turning those over to him regardless of what they are and just watching what he does with it.
And it's almost Paul-esque, if you would say, like, well, Saul-esque.
That's something that we've also, and the reason that we're so open with our story is, and my wife as well, she's got a really cool story.
Yeah.
And she's very open with it because, you know, Romans, God tells us that God works everything, you know, for his good and for his glory and our good. And he can't do that if we hide it. And right. So that's one thing that, you know, my story, a lot of times our stories don't glorify us very much. But man, if we allow that to be out, gosh, it really points so much glory to God and shows just what a great God we have.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. I'm really excited and anxious for this may be a two-parter.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to share right up until the turning point.
And we'll have to keep good. People on the edge. Man, we'll be getting texts and emails like we were in the early days.
From both listeners?
Yes. They were like, please release the next
Mom,
one.
Please email us again.
Yeah. So. Oh, sorry. Before we get started, I do need to make a shout out. We have a dedicated listener who informed me that we are stupid.
Oh, this is true.
So we've been smart listener.
No comment, Philip.
So we've been giving out the email address.
Okay, first off, Tommy's in charge of this, and he told us what
that
the
explains
email address,
all of
right?
It.
Tommy, tell him what you did.
Well, I didn't do. What do you mean? What I did?
What you did?
I didn't.
You're the one that told the email address.
I said we repeated it. Yes. Okay. I don't know why I said it. I created the email address. You know, if you say an email address, it doesn't start with www dot, right? No email address does,
right.
unless you're weird. But for some reason, I had in my head, like, our email address is www.vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com. And that's not what it is because it doesn't start with www. So this one of the girls here came up to us and she was like, you know that you said your email started with www. I'm like, what? No, we didn't. Yeah, we did.
We did.
And then you guys just chimed on.
We like, did.
Just right along with me. So
what is it?
So our email address is vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
Easy.
Yeah, so easy.
Got it?
If you start typing now, you might can get the email in by tomorrow.
That's a really long email address.
Yeah. I mean, just like our first intro.
That's what happens when Tommy's in charge.
I was not in charge of that song. So,
goodness. That was the first podcast I listened to, and Jeff told me you guys had one, and I almost didn't make it to y'all.
Yeah, same.
It's crazy. I almost didn't make it to us when we listened to it back. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I sat down with my family. And we were all excited and played it, and they just kind of looked at me, and they're like, the smiles just faded to like, is this it? Is it just music? Exactly.
Well, we get a little better. We might live change the email address one day.
You know, might change that first episode. Who knows?
Yeah. We need to go back and maybe put an edit on the front of it and say, hey, please listen to after the minute mark, because we will start talking.
That's true.
Well, it is in writing, so I did see it.
Oh, yeah.
I actually knew about it before I heard it, that it was going to be long.
Okay.
Because
okay.
You guys wrote it down there.
Cool.
It was
okay,
clear.
Cool.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of going long, let's not do that. So, Philip, we love stories. We love to hear people's story, their transformation story. So, man, tell us where you're from and how your story starts. So get rolling.
All right. So I'm originally from Noonan, Georgia. It is nothing.
Well, I was going to say where.
If you know who Alan Jackson is,
he's the home of Alan Jackson.
Oh, Alan Jackson is our claim to fame.
Yeah, Alan Jackson's good.
I grew up way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm from. So, yeah, really to get where we're going, we got to start where we were. So a little bit about me growing up. Never met my actual dad. He, when my mom was pregnant with me, he had another lady pregnant at the same time. opted to pursue that family. So he took off when mom was about 7 or 8 months pregnant with me. So I've never actually seen him. I've seen a picture of him, and I look a lot like him, but never talked to him, never seen him even still.
And you're the youngest of four, right?
I'm the youngest of four.
Okay.
So I have an older brother, 9 years older, a sister, 3 years older, and then one that's 2 years older. And then I'm okay. The baby.
Those three have the same father?
So my brother has a different dad. His dad actually was killed on a motorcycle when my brother was one. So,
okay.
So he has a different dad. Me and my sisters have the same same dad.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
So never met dad. Mom remarried when I was somewhere before I was one. So had a guy that I thought was my dad. I called him dad. He looked a lot like me. So obviously my mom has a type. So thought he was my dad. He at times was a really great guy. He had drug and alcohol addiction in his past. He had gotten in a car accident when I was about two, nothing super major, but had some injuries that kind of brought him back into the drug and the alcohol world. So those things kind of got reintroduced to him, kind of came back full force on his life. When he was using, totally different guy. That guy became more and more and more prevalent for us, as he, addiction, as it usually does, just gets worse, not better.
Yeah.
He was a very abusive guy, very physically abusive. Thankfully, only to my brother and I. Never touched mom, never touched my sisters. But as my brother got older, he was 9 years older, he got bigger. Mm-hmm. And, for a bully, a bigger target's not an easy target, but me being the younger one was kind of an easier target. So a lot of trips to the hospital with a lot of stories about what happened growing up. And I say those things not to get the, woe is me, poor little Philip story. I say those because it's important to kind of understand the perspective that gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Why I take being a dad so seriously now, because the parents that we have directly influence our view of God.
100%.
And so both of those experiences really gave me a perverted image of who God was. Mom always took me to church. I always believed there was a God, that the God of the Bible, I mm-hmm. believe that was the God that existed. But I just didn't like him because I saw him in light of these two other men,
mm-hmm.
one who was super distant and was just kind of like, I just don't really care to be involved. And then one who got involved. But when he got involved, it was just punishment.
Hmm.
Right. And that was kind of, it almost felt as if I relish in the punishment. And so I view God that way, that he was always mad at me.
Hmm.
Like he was looking to punish me. And so I had this really twisted view of who God was. And I thought, well, you don't like me, so I'm just going to not like you back. Right. I mean, I'm a kid. That's a natural response for a kid.
I think that's a really, just as you're saying that, it really clicks with me. I've never put it in those words.
Mm-hmm.
But how true that is when we think about our parents and how that would mold our view of God, and then a reflection of, okay, well, how are we being a parent to our kids?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you what you just said resonates with me 100% because of my upbringing, the way my father was. I didn't want anything to do with God because of the way he was. And
mm-hmm.
wow, that's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll highlight that. That's good stuff. All right.
Yeah. So, like I said, I had this kind of, God's real, just didn't really want much to do with him. Now, I did use the magic words, the Friday night magic words at camp,
mm-hmm.
where they give you the hell message and literally like scare you to death. And then are like, all right, if you don't want to go to hell, raise your hand. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. what 10-year-old and 9-year-old wants to go to hell. So I raised my hand and I repeated the magic words, got my get out of hell free card.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I thought. Stuck that thing in my pocket and thought, well, I'm good. I can just do what I want because I've got my card. So just kind of kept on, didn't really want anything to do with God. Played church at church, was real good at that. Knew Jesus was always a Sunday school answer, knew the stories. Eventually,
you were how old at this time?
When I said the magic words, about 9.
Okay.
So around 9. Then when I was 10, actually things got better at home. Mom finally left my stepdad. We're in a small apartment across town. My brother was working, helping mom pay the bills, doing some of those things. And actually, we didn't have very much, but like life was actually good.
Because your brother is, what, 18 at this time? 17 or 18, right?
Yeah, he was 18. Yeah. So, yeah. So things were, you know, even though we didn't have much, like we were just happy. And I remember that was like the first time that I remembered like just seeing my mom happy.
Yeah.
And that was huge because mom was always, you know, she may not have been getting physically hurt, but, you know, she's watching this happen at home. And I just remember like mom's smiles were genuine and things were like good for like 6 months and everything was great, but then it changed. Mm. And so about 6 months into this, my mom's actually, she's out of town. Me and my younger of the two sisters were staying with my Uncle Joe, and my brother was staying around, you know, he's 18. He was staying back home, and then my other sister in town with her friend. And coming home one night from a friend's house, my brother, he was killed in a car accident. So we all get different versions of the story depending on our age, and we're all headed back home. And so we get back. Obviously, it's chaos. I mean, you know.
Wow, can't imagine.
It's just all the family, the aunts, the uncles, grandparents, everybody's there. It's super chaotic. And, you know, somebody told me this one time, and if you ever had this experience, it'll resonate with you. When you lose a sibling, you lose a parent. No judgment, because I hope I never know. I hope I never have to experience that feeling, but, you know, they're never the same. That mom that I saw for 6 months with the smiles, I haven't seen her since.
Yeah.
You know, things were just different. I remember, you know, just that experience, and we were listening, me and my one sister, we were listening to eavesdropping on conversations, because that's what kids do. And we heard mom talking to my uncle and just kind of going through just the hysterics of finding all these things out. And she makes a comment, why couldn't it have been the other one? She was talking about me. And I don't think, in fairness, now as an adult, I see what's happening. But at the time, I'm a 10-year-old.
Oh, that's just, yeah.
And, you know, in her mind, she's thinking, well, because then I would have him, my rock, the guy who's been the stability there. But if we're being honest, it really just kind of broke something in me.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, well, I hate him. I want nothing to do with him. If that's how she feels about me, then for some reason I projected that on my brother who had just died. And here I am at 10, supposed to be devastated about this. And instead, I'm just angry. And I decided, well, whatever he was, I'm going to be the opposite. Well, the thing is, he was awesome, right? He was a great kid, super involved in church. He was actually enrolled in seminary. This was in June. That fall, he was supposed to go to seminary. He wanted to be a pastor. So I thought, well, good. I will be the exact opposite. I went to church because I had to. I chose the one with the cute girls because naturally I was a middle and high school kid. So I chose the one with the cute girls, but I showed up out of obligation because I had to, but I wanted nothing to do with any of it. So early on in having a lot of this emptiness that came from that experience with my brother, that came from just this void that really was God shaped, but I didn't want God to fill. I tried anything and everything to fill that. I tried relationships, girls, drugs, alcohol, popularity, sports, literally anything to make me feel valuable. Right? I wanted purpose, but I did not want God to be it. Yeah. I refused to let God be it. The problem is when it's a God-shaped hole.
Yeah. Nothing else fits.
It actually leaves you craving more. And so that's what I found, is nothing was ever enough. And it just felt emptier and emptier and emptier. Till finally, I thought, what makes you more of a man than being a United States Marine? And yeah, so my senior year of high school, I signed up. Actually, the day I turned 18, I was a senior. I called my recruiter in town and said, I'm coming. So I graduated high school May 25th, May 27th. I was in Parris Island on some yellow footprints. A few months later, I graduated as a U.S. Marine, and I was somebody.
What was your mom's take on you joining the Marines? Was she for it, excited, or indifferent?
Yeah, I think for a lot of reasons she was for it. We have a history in our family of military. And so I think she was proud for that. I think she also saw the direction I was going.
Right. Straighten them up.
And thought maybe the discipline and the structure of the military may have been good for me. So she was extremely supportive.
Gotcha.
I've got three brother-in-laws that were all Marines. So, yeah.
Yes, I you know, that's something that military is awesome. Marines, we have like a little bigger ego about the whole brand. And so it just has this kind of pomp that you carry, whether earned or otherwise. And so I thought, now I'm somebody. And I thought, this is going to be purpose. This is going to give me validation and meaning and all those things I've been searching for. And it gave me every one of those. The problem is they didn't last, right? Because they were temporary fixes.
Sure.
And so what lasted for a little while, wherever I went, there I was. And all my brokenness and all my baggage and everything else, it was with me. And so I end up leaving the Marine Corps in a lot worse shape than I went in. Had a lot of baggage mentally that the Marine Corps gave me to go on top of everything else, just from, you know, the nature of being in the military.
Yeah. And
so I get out. I'm drinking more. I actually was prescribed pain pills.
What? Sorry, real quick. What was? Can you share what your job was in the Marine Corps?
Yeah. So I was EOD. I was bomb squad.
Would you wear the suits and go out and?
Like Hurt Locker, terrible movie and terrible representation, but that.
Yeah,
is probably the best that an outside person would see of it.
Sure. So
assembling and disassembling bombs, basically.
Yeah, so pretty dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never had a bad day at the office. Still have all 10 fingers.
That's right. Yeah. So you got injured in some stuff over there? What?
Yeah. And so I was given pain pills. This is before opiates were a known epidemic. I think they were one, but just not known. And so the government was basically my drug dealer. They give me a 90-day supply of some pretty potent stuff. And, you know, I'd run through it with beer and other things as well in about 30 days. And I'd just request more and they'd mail me more. And, you know, your name's on the bottle. So you can justify it. Right. I can get pulled over and be like, hey, it's got my name on it.
Right.
And so you feel like you can justify these things, even though, you know, you're not doing the right thing. It was easy to justify.
Yeah.
And end up going down a really, really bad path with drugs and alcohol and to the point where, to be honest with you, 25 was a pipe dream. I remember my mom called me on my 25th birthday. I didn't share this earlier, but my mom called me on my 25th birthday. I didn't even know it was my birthday, if that tells you anything about the state of mind I was in. And I pick up the phone and she just cries. And I'm thinking, okay, what happened? Like, did somebody get hurt in the family? Like, what's going on? And she said, it's your birthday. And I said, cool. And she said, man, I just never thought you'd live this long. I love you. And she hung up.
Wow.
And that's just kind of the path that my life had taken.
I'm assuming you never shared with her that you heard her say that, what she said to your uncle when you were 10.
Never.
Never shared that with her?
But, no. Yeah. No, because, and I think, you know, at this point, to mention it would cause harm.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm not suggesting you do. I was just curious.
And, you know, as an adult and understanding trauma now, I mean, you can understand. She didn't mean that.
Right.
So, no, never shared those things.
Well, I think now she's calling you on your 25th birthday. They can tell you, hey, I love you.
Right.
She's probably crying because she's somewhat relieved that you answered the phone.
100%. Yeah. So like I said, that's kind of the path that my life was taking. Everybody who cared about me, I destroyed every relationship.
Burned all the bridges.
I mean, to say the least. And I remember, you know, I would look at other people in my same position and I would think, man, I'm glad I'm not like them. And looking back, I'm like, man, I was exactly like them.
You're right.
You know, still doing the same things, relationships, trying to find anything to make me matter. Every girl was going to save me, right? That was going to be the one that I was going to turn around for and be the guy I pretended to be. I call it now, I used to put mirrors on people's faces. And so if I could date a girl and make her think I was somebody important, it was all manipulation and lies. But if she thought I was that, then when she looked at me, I felt like that. And I felt like I mattered and I felt like I had that importance.
Sure.
But ultimately the manipulation fell apart, and not only was I still broken, but now she was too. Mm-hmm. And that was just a pattern of my life.
Mm. Were you working during this time?
Yeah. I mean, on and off.
Odd jobs and so on.
Yeah. I'd have jobs. I'd lose jobs. Kind of the addict lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I would do things, but nothing steady enough because who I was couldn't hold stability. I was so unstable.
Yeah.
So I end up dating a girl named Amber. Things were okay. As far as she was concerned, she didn't quite know what she had gotten herself into yet. She would soon figure it out. And, I just remember just life to one day just got to a point where I just was so tired of trying. It was, in my mind, this was the best it was going to get. And if this was the best it was going to get, then I didn't really want any part of it.
Yeah.
I had tried my best in every avenue that I could try, and I just got worse. My best effort just kept breaking and breaking and breaking everything. And so I thought, you know, we'll just check out. Yeah. I mean, I got my get out of hell free card.
Right.
Right. I had that in my pocket. Right. So, you know, God had to forgive me. I had him on a loophole with my little magic words. Right. And so,
yeah.
I remember I wrote 5 letters. I laid them out. I was staying with a buddy because, you know, instability with work. I couldn't afford my own place. Staying with a buddy, I wrote 5 letters to the people who I thought might care, mostly family.
And I'm going to interrupt you because that's where we're going to end this episode.
What?
You're going to have to tune back in to hear what the letters are about.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Tune back in. Appreciate you guys listening.